Hello. We're so glad you're joining us today as we listen to the word from one of our pastors. Let's go to the word.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Amen. Man, I have a hard time transitioning sometimes. I get caught up in just worship, y'all. Just giving ourselves away. Letting Him take over. Letting Him be in control and just being a child of God. It's so awesome. It's so awesome that even though I'm somewhat in control of what's going on right now, the ability to just say, Lord, have your way.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Yes.
The ability to just take a deep breath. That's what this morning's all about. I asked God for a word and He said, breathe. Like, just take a deep breath. We're all human. We're all human. Y'all know that, right? We're going to fail. We're going to fall. So, if I had to title what I believe God has given me for this morning, it would be Progress in Expectations. We're going to get there, but I got to build it. So, good morning, New Image. Y'all may be seated. Man, is it such an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. To be able to just worship God. To be able to just come into His house. The freedom to be able to do that is a miracle. There's a lot of places in this world you cannot do that. So my name is Pastor Derek. My wife and I are student ministry pastors here at New Image. And man, it's an honor to be up here in front of you this morning. Y'all bear with me. My daughter has like dimmed this backlight down on this thing and I have no clue how to do it. So I might be like, what's that say? But anyway, y'all, how many's got teenagers in here? They take over your stuff, man. Like, they make all kind of changes, and I don't know what in the world. What happened? That's funny. So if you're a visitor here this morning, I want to say welcome. I would love an opportunity to shake your hand and just say welcome. So before you leave, if you're that kind of person and you're comfortable with that, hang around. I would love to say good morning, welcome. On behalf of our pastors who are on vacation, I think they're on vacation or just they're on vacation. That's what we're going to call it. Day off, vacation. Amen. All right, so I'm excited what God has in store for us this morning, but before I get to all of that, I want to say thank you to everyone who has been there for our pastors and their family through such a tough, difficult time. I can't imagine. But just thank you. I don't want to make it, bring everything back. But thank you. Thank you to everyone. Those who drove out to Georgetown to visit and to be there for them. Man, that's awesome. Y'all, I know we went last Saturday and it's a day. It's a day. That's all I got to say. About 4.5 hour trip, hang out, spend time with the family, and then 4.5 hours back. I know that you sacrificed, and thank you for doing that. I also want to say thank you to everyone who helped make our Old Country Fair Harvest Festival the success that it was. I didn't hear a final number, but I think I remember something about 600 to 700. How many? 753 to the number. All right. So I would have ballparked that thing and been like 750-ish. But 753, that is awesome. So thank you to everyone who helped with that. And I want to give y'all, if those of you who I guess were here or those of you who weren't, I want to give y'all somewhat of an idea of what it is to be on the harvest setup, planning, all of that. So my phone has a feature that's called Samsung Health. And it's kind of like a Fitbit watch, you know, where it measures your steps and all of that. And I just curious, I was like, man, I know I went a long ways and a lot of steps over these past few days. And I was just curious of how many. So I want to give y'all an idea of kind of what it takes to set up and to tear down and all of that. So Thursday night, we began setting up. On that night, there was a few of us at the church that were here until about 11 p.m. And my phone app said that I took 11,703 steps just that day alone. That's just set up. All right. So Friday is the day of the event. I went into work Friday morning, worked maybe 5 hours. I don't know. Somewhere around 5 hours. And I come straight to the church and was here again until around 10 or so. That day consisted of 20,310 steps. So yesterday I came back to finish with the fence and all of that good stuff and cleaning up and moving hay bales and all of that. And I added another 7,429 steps. So just for fun, this app also calculates how far you would have walked if you would have went straight, right? Like how many steps if you were just walking a straight path. So if you add all those totals together, I walked a total of 19.07 miles, which is wild. So just for fun, I was like, what is 19 miles from here, you know, like from New Image Church? I could have walked 285 all the way down to Woodruff Road exit. That's wild. So I'm just curious, like, If everyone who helped with that, if we added it all together, y'all think we could get to like Columbia or something? I think we might could. Like, it's a long ways. But no, I just wanted to add a little fun in there. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into it. But I want to tell y'all of something that really makes it all worth it, and something that I was told by a newer family here at New Image Church. I was told that, man, this is amazing. Like, this is awesome. It's so, so great what y'all do for the families and everything and for the kids. And then he went a little further and said, man, our son loves it here. He gets so excited to come to church. Like, he's claimed it as his church. He's like, this is my church. Like, I'm ready to go to my church. So that is awesome. And that makes all the work worth it. All the effort we put into it, all the countless hours, that is so, 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 I guess, rewarding. Just to hear that, man, that alone is worth it. Amen. Amen, Brother Anthony, amen. So I want to encourage you, if your kid is like that and they are excited to come to church, tell their teachers. Like, y'all don't even know how much that just pushed me. Just to hear, hey, what y'all are doing is working. Like, man, our kids are excited. So if your kids are like that, they're learning, they're growing, tell the teachers. Tell the teachers. Because they're already amazing leaders and they're already amazing at what they do. But man, just how much better? How much better would it make it for them just to have a smile on their face? And I know sometimes it's hard. I'll be honest with you. You ain't always feeling like, you know, dealing with some 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 10-year-olds. But service after service, they're here. So just stop by and say, you know what? I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for what you do, man. My kids are excited to come to church. Y'all don't know how that is amazing. I remember our girls when they were little, and they were so excited to come to their church. You know, and we get to make that environment here for them, and that is so awesome. So Thank you to everyone. And please, if that's the case, or you know your kids are there, stop by and tell them. So as we transition toward the word, turn to your neighbor and tell them that this word is for you. That's a bold statement, right? It is for everyone. That's a bold statement, but I really believe it, man. I really wish someone would have told me this, like early on. If there's anyone that's a newer Christian, you're learning how to follow God and learning how to, this word is definitely for you. And I wish someone would have told me this word when I was younger. So Pastor reached out to me a couple weeks ago and asked if I would be willing to speak today. And me being who I am and God challenged me, I would say a couple years ago, to not turn down an opportunity to grow. So I was like, yes, sir, I got it. Not even realizing that it was harvest weekend. And the work that went into that, like, I was like, all right. But then God turned and he reminded me and he said, son, this is how you grow. Like, you grow better under pressure. So, and then on top of all of that, we woke up this morning to no power. So I was going to iron my shirt, so y'all got to deal with my wrinkles. But seriously, we had no power until about 5 minutes before we left the house, and then we're running around turning off fans, or Livy was anyway, turning off box fans and all. So how many, we live in the South, right? How many of y'all can relate to when that box fan goes out, you're awake? It don't matter what time of morning it is. It's like an instant, my eyes pop open, like, what was that? You know, like, wow. But it kind of messed everything up. And then Nikki was like, let me see how many people's out of power. And it was 30 people. Y'all. So I'm like, all right, this is a distraction. Like, it didn't take out half of easily. It's just our road. You know, what's the chances? Like, it's a pressure. Pressure makes us grow, right? So I don't know. I got ready by a little, almost like a little flashlight in front of the mirror. Nikki took a cold shower, which I don't know why the water was already cold, but it was. So we here, right? So pressure makes us grow. So inspiration to this word is, I was scrolling through Facebook one day last week and I came across a post where someone said that Christians are the most judgmental people. So I stopped and I thought about it for a minute and I kind of agreed, because sometimes Christians they hurt, man. You know what I'm saying. Y'all, can we be real this morning? Sometimes Christians can discourage you, and Christians can really make you feel bad for failing sometimes. Instead of building us, you know, lifting people up, we have an ability to tear people down. But I read that and I stopped and I thought about it. And I was like, I mean, I really didn't think that much about it, I'll be honest. It was a Facebook post. I was like, well, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And I read the comments and kind of saw a discussion about it. And then after harvest meeting on Wednesday night, I was sitting up front with some of our youth, and they were talking, and they kind of said something similar. Y'all ever have that repeat thing, that confirmation that's like, okay, God, I see what's going on. I see what's happening for this morning service. And then, man, and God started speaking to me, and you know, here we are. So I truly believe that I'm on assignment this morning to tell you, to tell everyone, to encourage everyone that you are human. We're all human. So to set the scene a little for the first scripture, and this is, it's kind of a scripture that entitles everything, and then there's other scriptures that kind of break it down. But to set the scene a little, I was around 16 or so when I finally decided to build a relationship with Christ. And I want to say that like that because I said a prayer a few times growing up. I remember going to, what was that, Washington Street Baptist Church or whatever, and we... Now, see, that wasn't my home church, but But they had a judgment house thing there. And I remember like feeling so bad because I was unclean. And man, I watched that thing where people die and the family dies. And then some of them go to heaven and some of them go to hell and they all go to judgment. And it scared me, y'all. And I remember thinking like, I need fire insurance. You know what I'm saying, y'all? Like, that's what it was. Like, I said a prayer, but it was just a prayer, y'all. It was an empty prayer that I was scared and I said it. But I was around 16 or so before I really, truly, I had things prophesied over me. I had things spoke over me that I would be here one day. And I was like, y'all are crazy. Like, I'm going the opposite direction. But it was around 16 or so when I finally gave in and I was like, Lord, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna build this relationship with God and see where it goes. So I was young, right? I remember how hungry I was for the word, how hungry I was to grow in God. And just, y'all know that first, when you found your first love thing, like you just have to know them. That's the way I was, man. I would stay up hours and hours and hours just reading the Bible on school nights. My mom would come in here and be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm reading the Bible. I'm studying. I had, man, I didn't know how to read the Bible. I was teaching myself. So I had this version here and this version. And I think I even had, I don't know. I had everything out there and I was just reading. It kind of reminded me of what these teenagers did yesterday. We're going to the park and having a Bible study meeting. Like, that is so awesome. But that's the way I was. And then I remember the first time I failed. And all that excitement turned to shame. Right? I was told that I was a new creation, which I was. But they didn't tell me that I was going to fail. They didn't tell me that I was going to be human. They told me that I was something new. So I thought at that moment that everything was going to fall away. All that stuff that I struggled with was going to fall away because I was a new creation. But I remember feeling like a failure because here I was, a new creation, but still fighting some of the same old mess that I was fighting before. That's real, y'all. People don't tell you this. They tell you, get saved, get saved, get saved. But then they don't say, you are human. You are human. You're going to struggle. But that's what it's all about. Our word's progress, right? Like I taught a couple Wednesdays ago about God being a suddenly God. But this ain't a suddenly kind of thing. It's done over time. So, high expectations are great, right? They can push us. They can cause us to do a lot of things that maybe we wouldn't do. But I didn't see that I was still human. And teenagers, I want y'all to listen to that. Like, you're still human. You're still human. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. You're going to find yourself right back going, here I am, God. But it's okay. Because that's who you are. You're human. You're human. All right, we're going to get into all that. So unrealistic expectations are a breeding ground for disappointment. Which leads to my first point in this. God expects progress, not perfection. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and I think they have that maybe. Look at there. Y'all are on it. So being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I just want to tell y'all, this is his work. It's not yours. It's his work. It's his expected end. It's his timing. When he wants you to be done with it, it'll be gone. Right, but there's a purpose for the struggle, y'all. There's a purpose in it. So this is his work, and he's still working. So falling doesn't disappoint God. He already knew that you were going to. That's crazy to think about, but God Almighty already knows who we are. It's almost like he created us. Right? But he knows who we are. He knows that I got a very short attention span when it comes to some, Nikki, don't be agreeing with me. Y'all, this is backwards, y'all. She's roasting me and she don't even got a mic. Like pastors normally like, all right, so I ain't telling no stories. You good. You good this morning. But falling doesn't disappoint God. He already knows that we would. So progress equals direction towards God. Even if it's slow, right? Progress equals, man, I didn't respond this way the last time. But guess what? This time, man, I'm getting back up and we're going to keep moving forward and we're going to do this thing, right? That's progress. Because the last time it would have threw me for a loop, y'all. So think of a baby, right? When a baby learns to walk, right? Baby's little, man, they little newborn. All they do is, y'all don't know. Like when Maddie was born, this is our first baby, you know, our oldest. When she was born, I just wanted to play with her, right? I wanted to play with the baby, and the baby, all they wanted to do was have a bottle and sleep and change diapers. That's what I had to do, but you know what I'm saying. That's the order. Like they sleep, they wake up, they cry, they have a bottle, and then there's a diaper. So that's all they do. So I'm like, I want to play with the baby. Like, wake up. Like, but she was tiny. Like, I want to play with the baby. But she was so tiny. But then later on in life, like, she learned how to, you know, roll over. Like, that was a big deal. Like, we celebrated that. Like, woohoo, she rolled over for the first time. But then she crawled a little bit, right? And we was like, man, she's growing up on us and she's not even talking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's so grown. She's crawling. But then she took her first steps. And I remember thinking, like, wow, like, this is awesome to watch. But man, I'm so impatient, y'all. Like, I want to play with the baby. And the baby just wants to sleep. But anyway, like, what I'm saying is there's a process in it, right? And progress is measured in the middle of the process, right? So as we learn and as we grow, man, it don't happen overnight. So I saw a quote that I loved. It said, grace doesn't lower God's expectations. It lifts us up so that we can meet them. And it spoke, man. It spoke because how many times do I abuse grace? How many times do I, you know, in spite of what's been done, find myself back fighting stuff that I shouldn't be fighting anymore, right? So, all right, point number two. Being human means being in process. For this point, and this is going to be a big part of what we focus this around, I want to focus on a very important Bible character, Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was a great dude. Well, later on. So, but this is all going into it because he hadn't always been that person, right? Apostle Paul, or Saul, was known as a persecutor of Christians. He literally done what is going on in Africa right now to Christians. He persecuted Christians. He was the meanest of the mean. Like, that's, to me, Christians don't do, like, when you look at some of the bad people of this world, why would you want to persecute a Christian? But it's all because of Jesus. Jesus was persecuted when he didn't do anything wrong. He healed people. But hey, I haven't done that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's be real. Like, man, how much more do I deserve persecution? But anyway, that's who Saul was, right? So before his Damascus Road experience in the book of Acts, Paul was known for persecuting Christians. So our next scripture comes from the book of Romans, which is kind of crazy because that's where the youth were studying last night, is the book of Romans. But it comes from the book of Romans, which is the very next book of the Bible, right? So if you don't know, the Damascus Road experience is Saul's on a path, right? He's on the road and he goes blind. God takes his vision, right? And then later on, he comes to know God because of it, right? He learns to see because he loses his vision, which is, that's a whole nother sermon. But the book of Acts is the very next book of the Bible. I mean, the book of Romans is the very next book of the Bible from Acts. So he's young in his maturity, right? He's young in his faith. I want y'all to really grab that, because what we're going to read is something that shows that he struggled with his humanity, right? So Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 25. Look at there. They on it, y'all. They on it. Who's bad here? That day? Is it day? Day, I owe you a meal. Come to church at 5 o'clock. Y'all know what's funny? We got Friendsgiving today, no joke, at 5 o'clock. So if you're between 18 and 25, come back and hang out with us. Cause I was here working and Nikki was cooking up a storm yesterday. The house smelled delicious and I didn't get to eat none of it. But it's all right, it'll happen today. So anyway, now I'm hungry. I'm telling y'all what I say about that short attention span. So Romans chapter 7, verse 15 says, I do not understand what I do. What? Anyone in here agree with that? I know I'm there. So I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But I hate what I do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Man, that's crazy. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Y'all know that, right? Y'all know you have that flesh. All right. Some of y'all, I'm telling you, it'll hit you. I promise you'll feel like a failure when it does. I've been there. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. He's human, y'all. He's human. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. I wasn't told that. I wasn't told that, y'all. I was told that the Holy Spirit lives in me and it's all going to be good. Anybody with me on that? Like, I wasn't told that my flesh is still going to be there. That my human nature, my sin nature, is still going to want the same things that I used to want. But God, right? All right, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man. There's some depth in that, y'all. That is deep. This is Apostle Paul. Y'all realize he wrote most of the New Testament? Like, he is the Holy Spirit, you know, is the most influential. But to our Bible, he is the one who wrote the most. And this is the guy who's saying, I'm struggling. It's okay to struggle, y'all. It's okay to not have it all figured out. It's okay to still struggle with the same things. That's going against somebody's doctrine. I'm telling you, somebody's told you got to live by the law and you got to do this, and that's fine. I agree. But Jesus fulfilled the law. He is in charge of my story. Right? All right. Let's move. Let's keep going. All right. Paul said, I don't do what I want to do. I love this because it shows his struggle with being human. I struggle with the same thing, y'all. I got a title. And it's so easy to say, I have to live up to that title. It's so easy to say that my expectations are higher. But guess what, y'all? I'm a child of God too, just like everyone sitting in here. During praise and worship, I'm supposed to lift my hands just like you guys are. Titles don't matter. Come on, man. All right, so Paul, Apostle Paul, who started many churches, said, I don't do what I want to do. I know Pastor Mark ain't here, but y'all give him a break. Take it easy on him. He's a human man, just like everyone sitting here. He struggles with the same things. I promise you. And I'd be willing to say that he struggles with more. Because the enemy knows, if I attack the head, if I damage the head, then the rest will follow. Right? So what does he do? He comes to Pastor Mark with false teachings and with things to lead us astray. And then he says, teach that. Right? So you know where our requirement is to be careful. It's to be careful with what we allow to influence us, because guess what? Y'all care about your babies up there in the other building? I have to protect myself, right? But I'm still human. So Paul is confused because he wants to please God. He wants to do good. But his nature is in sin. And that's what his body desires. Can anyone in here relate with Paul in this struggle? All right, so we're being real now. All right, we're waking up. We're being real. So struggle isn't failure. Struggle is the evidence of growth. Because I didn't struggle before, right? I just went with the world. But the fact that I'm turning my ways and I'm going towards God is progress, right? It is evidence of growth. So God uses weakness to remind us of the importance of dependence. That is so deep, y'all. So deep. So profound, because I'm not enough. I can't be enough. I have to be fully dependent on God, or I'm going to mess it up, because my flesh says do it, right? But my spirit, if I'm not in tune with God, my spirit side says, who knows that whichever side you feed is going to grow, right? And then the other side is going to die because you starved it. Feed that spirit, man. Psalms 103, verses 13 and 14. And it's crazy because I didn't really. Man, when I was standing there worshiping this morning, it was like God was saying, just come sit in my lap. Like, I'm your father. Like, let's strip it all away and let's just be with our father this morning. So it says, verse 13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Y'all know scripture says that the meek shall inherit the earth. We are dirt. When the sooner you realize that, the better you will be in your walk with God. I promise you. I promise you. The sooner you realize that you can't do this on your own, the sooner you realize that, man, I am, what did Paul said? I'm an evil man, or I'm, sooner you realize that my nature is sin, the sooner you'll be able to just release it all to God. And it's crazy how much freedom and peace, and you talk about, the scripture talks about the peace that surpasses all understanding. This comes in the ability to say, I can't do this. Like, God, take over. Take over, God, because I can't do this. And when you do that, you step back and you release the reins, right? Like, you release control, and then he just takes off. And before you know it, you're up here speaking to people. That's how it happens. I'm just being real. But I'm being real. I remember sitting in, like, man, it seems like yesterday. Like, did I heard things prophesied over my life, and I was like, y'all are crazy. But when I realized, God, man, you write my story. I'm going to let go, and I'm going to let God do what he does. And then see where you come out at, man. Jeremiah 29:11 says that he has a plan for my life. He knows that expected end, right? I don't. If he told me what all I had to go through, I might be like, look, can we negotiate this thing, right? Y'all know how we do? We like to be like, hey, can I lend the terms, you know? Like, come on, God. Like, I really want what you have for me, but I don't want to go through all of that. But that's not how it works. You're going to go through it anyway. I'll just be real. That's what I've learned is God will pull you through kicking and screaming if he has to. But you're going to go through it, man. Have peace about it. Give it to God. All right, we got a couple more points and then we're going to be good, I promise. I was reminded of the potter and the clay. You know, God says that we were dust, right? Like, he formed us. So he's the potter, we're the clay, right? So shaping takes the right amount of time, the right amount of pressure, and the right amount of patience. Because without any one of those three, it's going to be clay, right? He wants it to harden. He wants it to be something useful. So you have to give it to him and trust him. All right, point number three. Progress happens through relationship. Our 2 Corinthians 3:18, I beat y'all that time. I tried to turn as if Dave had me, but I beat her that time. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all who with unveiled faces, y'all know what that means? Y'all know what unveiled faces is? That's all that mess stripped away, right? That's who we really are. That's that sin nature really being face to face with God. Because y'all know we like to play that church face, you know? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We like to play like it's all good. We like to play like we, man, hey, look. How you doing? I'm good, man, I'm good. Hey, that's my line. I'm good. No, you ain't, man. Your face says something else, you know? Like, I know you're going through some stuff. Why don't you let us in? Why don't you let the body be what it's supposed to be? All right, so that's unveiled faces. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed. So that's being one person to another, right? Are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's him. It's him. It's him. My transformation ain't due to my works. It's him, right? This is his story. We are transformed by proximity, not performance. By being close to God. Right? Think of the woman with the issue of blood. Think of how she just had to get into the presence of Jesus. It might have took a performance to get there because she had to fight and claw her way through. But it wasn't what it was, being in the presence of God. So We are transformed by proximity, not performance. And the closer we get to God, the clearer the reflection of Him we are. So think about that for a minute. It's not us, y'all. Transformation happens by daily, relational, step-by-step, small choices to move forward. And remember to check your direction. So this is where it's a big deal to remember who you used to be, right? To check your direction, not the distance. So when I say that, I'm saying there's going to be some seasons in your life where God feels like He's way over there somewhere, and you need Him, right? You need Him. You really need Him to be right here, and He's over there. And I remember, like, you know, I said kicking and screaming. I remember pitching a tantrum like, God, I need you. Where are you at? Like, and He's like, son, you have to work it out. You have to learn to grow. You have to learn to, right? Like, he's got an unexpected end, but we have to learn sometimes to grow intentionally. So check your direction, not your distance. A step toward God is a step of progress. A crawl toward God is a step of progress. You know, we talked about baby steps, right? Early on, man, I thought I had it figured out. I thought I had it, man. Look, people's prophesying stuff over me, and I was proud of myself, you know, as a teenager. Like, man, God's going to do this. He's going to do that. And then I was like, well, I'm a wretched man. Like, but I had to learn to trust God, right? So step towards Him is a step of progress. I'm going to call the praise team back forward. I'm not quite done. I got one more point, but I want to leave some time because I believe that someone in this building, someone in this room here may be in a situation where they feel discouraged. They feel like they've let God down. They feel like the pressure and the expectation, the unrealistic expectations that we've placed on ourselves, and we failed, and we didn't meet that expectations. I feel like there might be somebody here this morning that really needs some time to spend with God, some time to pray and ask God to help us, right? Right. So, and I got one more point. I'm not done, I promise. But I want to say that expectations grow as we grow, right? Start small. Start saying, God, I'm just going to move towards you. Start saying, thank you. Thank you. I think thank you is so big in every season, but especially your first, because you realize that, hey, I am this wretched man. This is who I used to be. I'm going to speak a little bit more on that, but I think sometimes the ones that we struggle with the most of accepting who God's called us to be is the ones who are closest to us. The family, like our family, you know, that know who we are. They know some of the things that we struggle with. They know some of the things that have made us, made our identity of who it used to be. Are y'all with me? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, sometimes it's the ones that's closest to us that hurt the most. Sometimes it's the ones that say, you know, hey man, I remember being excited. Like when I said the prayer at the judgment house thing, I remember being excited and then almost being hit with doubt. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I remember a time at Ramp with the teens, and man, these teens were on fire for God. Y'all don't even know, like, they was like, look, we don't even want to sit in chairs anymore because I got something to hide behind, right? If I'm sitting in the second row, I can hold on to the chair in front of me. They didn't want to do that anymore. They were like, can we sit in up front? I was like, hey, man, Pastor Eric was here at the time. I was like, Pastor Eric, look, man, these kids are on fire. Is there any way, will it distract you if the teens sit up front? Would it distract you if we stayed in the altar? You know what he told us? He said, man, y'all do what y'all got to do. And that's what I loved about Pastor Eric, and I still love about him is he encouraged you to seek God for yourself. He encouraged you to find your own way of worship. It don't have to be a certain way. You could be here, you could be in the back row back there. But that's between you and God, right? I love like when I pray and when I get prepared for worship, I ask God, I always say, Lord, help me to build you an altar. I want to be in your presence right here, right? That's done intentionally. That's done at home. That's done on Saturday, not on Sunday. But I always ask God to help me to seek him over everything. Help me to just be with him. Because that's where it all changes. So I didn't know that at first. I remember being a teenager and failing that first time and thinking, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I remember the second time being so much harder because now I knew I failed before. And hey, you've done it before. Like, why not fail again? Like, God's grace is going to cover you is the way I felt about it. But I had to mature. I had to learn that there was nothing that I could do to earn it. I had to learn that this wasn't by performance. It was by faith alone. It was by trusting God and choosing every single moment to move forward, to move straight towards him. So remember, spiritual maturity happens by consistent growth. Pastor taught a while back about the little things, right? The little changes that add up, man. And eventually they become a habit, right? And then when it becomes a habit, then you can add to it. And then you can really, really, really push. It's not realistic to say, hey, I got saved yesterday. I'm going to read the whole Bible in a week. And I'm going to figure it all out. But I promise you, if you slow down, the most I've learned in Scripture is by reading one verse. Reading one verse and taking it in. Really taking it in. I want to know now. I want to know what they're saying. Who's he talking to? Like, come on, man. Like, I want to know who the Scripture's talking to. I want to know what he's talking about. Because I could very easily, I don't know y'all seen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Used in sports terms, that is not what it was meant for. You got to know context. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, meaning I can do this, right? He's going to give me the strength and the words and the knowledge and all to stand up here and proclaim his word. It's not me. It's not my abilities. I have to trust that when I stand up here, he's going to take over. I get it wrong, y'all. A lot. I'm just going to be real. I'm going to be as transparent as I can be. I get distracted. But I got to trust God. So I started this word by telling you to tell your neighbor that this word is for you. I really wish someone would have told me that. I'm going to be honest with you. I wish someone would have told me that I'm going to fail. That would have been so easy to know at the beginning. It would have saved me so much grief. I don't know if anyone's been there, but I've been there. Just knowing that I'm not enough. I want to do good, but like Paul, I don't do it. What is wrong with me? Why do I do what I do? But knowing that I'll slip up, knowing that I will fail God, knowing that I will fail my wife, knowing that I will fail my family, knowing that I will fail my brother. That's so real, y'all. And it's real stuff. I don't want to let these kids down. I want to be there. I want to, man, I really want, I'm with the high schoolers. I want these kids to follow God forever. That's my heart. It's my heart for them to get on fire with God and revival take over this church. And I believe he's going to do it. It can start with them. It can start with a Bible study in a park. But I must be okay to say this is real life stuff. If they don't do it, I can't be like, well, why didn't y'all do this? I can't come down on them because they failed, because I did too. So expectations grow as we mature. Don't give up. If God's message to me at day one, it was encouragement. It was don't give up. It was come on, let's go, you know, that kind of thing. But on year five, I could imagine it being something like keep trusting me. And on year 10, it's like, man, I know that sinful nature's still there. I know that you still struggle with some of the same things. But let's be real. Like, I know who you are, son. But don't give up. It's the same message. Keep pushing. Keep trusting me. But the one thing I will say has changed is the reason for it, I guess. The purpose behind it. Like, man, I got to. I get distracted. This made me really, really, really lock in last night. Because y'all don't even know Harvest. But knowing that God doesn't just love the finished product, like knowing that he loves you so much, even if you failed him, like he loves you in that. He loves you in that moment. That's crazy to think about. I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know. Maybe someone can relate to that new in Christ, freshly saved. I need God's grace like crazy, crazy, crazy right now. Or maybe you're in that 10-year phase or that 20-year phase. Maybe your walk, maybe it ain't what it used to be. That's okay. Can we all do something? Can we just take a deep breath? Just a deep breath. Everyone in here. Y'all feel the pressure release? Y'all feel, man, it's that's what God wants from us this morning. That's what God wants from us this morning. So, we're closing this. So you may be here this morning, and you may be, maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and thank God for the ability to push through another day. The altars are open. Maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you've been down on yourself. I learned that I hold on to things, y'all. I learned that I remember things. Like God has forgiven me of a lot of stuff that I haven't moved on myself from. Years ago we were singing, and I was up here on the praise team at the time, but we were singing Break Every Chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, you know, all of that good stuff. And it's like God was speaking directly to me, and he said, son, I've broke the chains, but you pick them back up. You won't let them go. Why? What is wrong with me? But it's real stuff, y'all. God's forgiven me of so much more of what I forgave myself for. So I just want to turn it over to the praise team. And if this is you, come. We have a prayer team here that is here to pray with you, that is here to be here with you. Come. Caleb. Can you come back up here with your family, brother? Can I ask that everyone in here stretch their hands towards this family, please? You know, the Bible teaches that, one person can set 1,000 to flight, but 2 or 3 or 4 or however many people's in this room can set tens of thousands to flight. So I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to, bring clarity and peace of mind. I'm speaking against confusion and doubt and, things that... Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you for what you're doing, Father. I thank you for you are still in control, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask that that thoughts of fear and confusion and all those things are gone right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I ask that you touch them, you encourage them, and that you touch these kids and let them take it home, Father. Would you know the situations? Be with them, Lord. Be with them, Lord. But I'm asking you to touch my brother. Give him clarity and peace of mind, Father. Encourage him. We thank you for it, Father. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. Do what only you can do right now.